With GoTA, somebody that I used to know on KCHA. It's 8:20, 19 degrees downtown, somebody, downtown Charles City. I
don't even know where I'm going. Downtown where?
But anyway, we do have somebody we do know in studio. Kay Winkleman, he's sitting right next to you. Who is it?
Well, you know, it's been a while since we've heard from Steve Deers, our city administrator, who is the award-winning state of Iowa administrator of the year. Congratulations, Mr. Deers.
Yes, thank you very much.
Oh, don't be so humble.
That was not on his topic list this week.
I don't care if it was or not. That is first and foremost. We are so blessed to have you. We've said this time and again, you're a busy, busy guy. You always got 100 things going. So kudos to you.
Well, thank you. No, very honored and surprised.
Well, yeah, you had no clue.
No. No, my wife Beth and my colleagues and everybody of the city, they kept a pretty good secret from me. I had no idea.
That is awesome.
So
that is
couldn't have happened to a better city administrator.
And now we have him. We have him in our midst, so we better get his autograph.
Oh, boy.
I know, right?
But we better delve right into it because, again, we have lots to talk about.
Sure.
Kick it off with, we've got a new interim fire chief.
We do. Right. So as most of you know, Fire Chief Eric Whipple has taken a position for Cerro Gordo to be their emergency management coordinator. And so Eric will be leaving us November 2nd. So first and foremost, I want to thank Eric for his years of service with the city of Charles City. You know, he was a dispatcher, paramedic, fireman, and now fire chief for the last 10 plus years. So thank you, Eric, for your service to the community and best of luck. But as Eric moves along, we fill that void for fire chief, which is a very critical position. So I'm happy to announce that Marty Parcher, who was our assistant fire chief up until this last spring when he retired, has been pulled back in. We approached Marty about the idea of coming back in an interim capacity because we'll be going through a longer formal process because this is a civil service position, and so there's steps and things you take with civil service commission to coordinate and hire a fire chief, and so long term we'll be using that approach at some point here, but in for the immediate future Marty has agreed to come back at least for the time being and help fill that spot and lead our fire department. So excited for that.
Definitely knowledgeable in that department, so we welcome him back.
Absolutely.
But we also have some added departures as well. Do you want to talk about that too?
Yeah. So yeah, it's I guess when it rains, it pours. we've had a couple of people take new positions. So we've also had Jake Johnson, who was our GIS planning coordinator out of the engineer's office. He's has a job with the engineer's office of the county now. He's taking that position. Code enforcement officer. Jason Webster is now the Floyd County Emergency Management Director. Eric is the one in Cerro Gordo, and now Jason is the one in Floyd. So they're going to those respective positions. And then, of course, our city engineer, we've been talking about this one for almost a year. John was announced that he wanted to retire sometime around December of 2022. We're discussing that specific date. I think he's willing to maybe hang around a little bit longer. But
hold on, fella.
Because we've had a lot of changes here, and we have been advertising for the engineering position, and still waiting to trying to find some good candidates there, but we've got a number of positions that have come open. I know we're going to be looking to post that code enforcement officer position sometime this week, and so everybody, I guess, just be open, keep an eye open for that. But if you call down for a building permit or nuisance or rental inspection type thing, it's maybe taking us a little bit longer as we're a little bit short staffed in some of those areas. So just be mindful of that, I guess.
Understandable. Yeah. Absolutely. Jinx, you owe me a Coke, Chris.
I don't know you nothing.
So this is a very important topic, and one we just heard about the other day at Rotary. We will hear about it again here on KCHA on Friday. Mm. The EMS levy, pretty important stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. So the EMS levy, in a nutshell, is a voter approved levy. It's something rather new that the state just put in place here about a year or two ago, and there's a number of counties surrounding us that are looking to go this direction. But what this will do is this will allow the county to pass a levy amount to go towards EMS service, ambulance service. up until now, you haven't, you know, ambulance service has not been considered an essential service like police and fire has been. And so now with this, the county can choose to deem it an essential service, which ambulance service is pretty essential. Seems obvious, I think, to many. And so they pass that. And so once you declare that, then you can look to, you know, have the voters approve a levy. And so the levy that they're looking at, you can levy up to 75 cents per thousand. The number they're looking at is 57. And this will essentially, it's going to, for the most part, it's going to help, it's going to fund the ambulance service. And we've talked about this before. I know, you know, 4 years ago, the ambulance service was paying us. And then life changes, you know, health insurance, Medicaid, Medicare, they're not reimbursing the ambulance like they have been. Things get more expensive. And so they went from paying us to requiring us to pay them. And that was very hard to try and take on that additional cost without additional resources to pay for it. So what this EMS levy will do, it'll allow for 10 years worth of collection if passed. You can do it for up to 15, but the group selected a 10-year window, which I think is a wise choice. You know, it's going to levy up to, I think it's about $550,000 a year. The vast majority of that is going to be available for the ambulance service. And you know, we've kind of predicted over the next 10 years what the cost of that service may be and tried to figure that in, because, you know, while this will give the EMS levy group the ability to levy 57 cents, they won't have to do the full 57. They may or they may not. Depends on what you need, but it allows, gives us some authority over the next 10 years to be able to collect some funds to operate the service. So it's also going to help, you know, fund other ambulance services in the county. Most of those are, you know, some of those are just first responder, where they just respond to the scene. They can't actually transport anybody. Some are transport services. So just, you know, November 8th, I encourage everybody to get out and vote. I mean, I know I just covered it real briefly here, but the next informational meeting is this coming October 25th. Which should be a Tuesday. I think I didn't jot that down, but I think that's Tuesday, October 25th.
Yes, it is.
And 5 p.m. at the Charles City Hall in the Council Chambers. Pat Lumley and the rest of our EMS Advisory Council are going to be there to answer any questions and really give you, you know, more details as far as what this involves. But it's a critical thing for our community, because to have a paramedic level ambulance service is very expensive. And right now, we have the city and the county sharing the deficit, which is about $100,000 each. And so, that number is going to keep going up. And, you know, I guess I will say, I have had a couple communities call and ask how we get it so cheap. So if that gives you some context, there's a lot of other places that are paying more, but we have a pretty good setup, I guess. And so, but it still needs to be funded. And so we need to try and get that accomplished.
And I would really, I learned a lot by listening to Roy and Donette Willis, mm-hmm. who's another member of that committee, on Monday. I think there's a lot of confusion and a lot of maybe misconception about it. I would highly encourage everyone to go to that city hall council informational meeting at 5 p.m. on October 25th. Again, though, your earlier chance would be to tune in on Friday,
yes,
at 8:05 a.m. here on KCHA. They will be in to explain more in depth about this. It is critical. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And so before you vote on November 8th, I would highly encourage you to learn more about this.
Yeah, it is critical. You know, and some of that funding is going to go through recruitment and training, because it's not cheap to become a paramedic or, you know, first responder.
And so, not everybody's jumping at the chance to be a paramedic.
Right.
Partly because of the expense of that kind of training.
Yeah.
And
yeah, for sure.
Can you imagine calling 911 and just being told, well, we don't have this service, you're on your own? That I can't imagine.
Yeah, it's something you don't expect to hear in 2022.
No, absolutely not. So Anyway.
No, we are speaking with City Administrator Steve Deers here on the morning show. Let's talk about something besides EMS levy. Pure Prairie Farms, you know, that's a pretty good success story. What's going on there? And is that Main Street section that's closed, is that now owned by Pure Prairie Farms? Or
not quite. No, I guess we're getting closer to that. You know, anytime you take a step of like, you know, selling a piece of city property, especially like what we're talking about here, is you know ultimately leasing and or selling, you know, a piece of street, it's a long process, as well it should be, because that's a pretty big decision. So to kind of, you know, I guess what I want to mention is we have a public hearing set for November 7th for the council to consider a lease purchase agreement with Pure Prairie Farms on that section of Main Street that's right out in front of their building. And so the reason that we're looking to lease it and ultimately potentially sell it to them is that, you know, for that site to be a functioning critical, you know, a functioning site, they need to have more space. They need to have more space for storage, for employees, and that property, you know, it's kind of a unique place. It's a triangle-shaped lot that's got railroad tracks on two of those three sides. So the only side you can really expand on is that front side where the street is. And so their plan would be to build out, you know, closer to the sidewalk with their actual structure, and then use the street to back the trucks in there, to back up to the docks, be able to load and unload. And so we've been taking steps to help facilitate that. They've already, the Pure Prairie Farms has already reached out to the City Improvement Association and the railroad, who own the park across the street, and they've got pending agreements to buy that park. And so the next piece is that street. And so for them to get the financing to make these expansions, they need to have some type of assurance. Their lender needs to have some type of assurance that they have access to be able to do that. And so what we're looking at is setting up a 3-year lease, which they'll pay an amount to the city each of those 3 years. And then after those 3 years, they would have the ability to exercise an option to purchase that street. And so I guess, you know, it's the best way we can put together that really says, okay, well, let's see how it goes these first 3 years. You know, if they're successful, great. I fully anticipate they will be successful, because, you know, this group that's come in, they have a really good plan for going forward, and the best of any of them, I guess you could say. And so you want them to be successful, but just in case, you know, they're not, that's what you have to plan for. You know, and if they're not, you know, then, you know, they wouldn't have to exercise the option. Their bank wouldn't exercise the option. Maybe they would. Probably they still would. But they have to have access to their property. They need to know that they can be able to get in and out of there. And we, you know, we're already, you know, already working on plans that would, you know, redirect that portion of Main Street to Grand. That little section right next to it is called Lane Street. We've already renamed that Main. So when it turns there, it's still Main Street that connects to Grand. And we're working on some signage options that are going to help show people how to get to Main Street, and so it's, you know, evident. But yeah, if anybody has any questions or comments, wants to sit down on that council meeting, that's November 7th. We'll have that public hearing, and then after that, if it passes, then we'll be looking to enter into that lease, and they'll be able to finalize, you know, their deal with the bank and keep moving forward. So. Yeah, it's exciting stuff. It's a big step, you know. It's a piece of street out there. It's got water and sewer in it, so I can tell you it's never going to have a building over it. But you know, it's going to be used for, you know, for parking trucks, and you know, when you come down Main Street, when the previous operation was in there, you know, half the time you'd have a semi parked across the road, and that's just not a good situation either. But you know, that's how it is. That's where it is. So I guess we're, you know, making the best. We want to see them succeed, and so we want to give them every opportunity to succeed.
Definitely. And I think we've all survived that change over the past couple of months, so I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, I think it's appreciative.
Much safer.
It is, and much appreciative that we had the opportunity to kind of get used to that change before it actually.
And we'll be, you know, like I said, we're going to be making a more permanent change up there and redirecting that street. And that was part of the long-term plan with the previous, you know, the previous operation knew that they needed to push out front there. And so when, you know, when Cal's Auto came available, the city acquired that property, because we know as we need to redo that street, we'll probably have to lose that corner building there that we currently have a bunch of Park and Rec stuff in. But if you have building space, you always find stuff to put in. Oh, sure. I can tell you
definitely,
that.
Definitely right.
Hey, this is cool. The water tower was recently lit last week for metastatic breast cancer awareness. And also then there was an anonymous donor that lit it in memory of Ellen Bengston, who was a member of our community, killed in a bicyclist accident a couple of years ago. Yeah. So this is an option, and people can do this as a rental.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool.
I think that's awesome.
I've wanted to light that water tower for a long time because it's right out there on the avenue. It's like a big billboard for us. So it's nice to be able to move forward with that to get, when we upgraded the painting and painted the new logo and the Charles City up on there, which as soon as they were painting it, I wanted the letters bigger, but they went from like 4 feet to 9 feet, and I thought, oh, that'll be awesome. It's nice, but those letters could be bigger.
Go bigger, go home.
That's right. It's like, yeah, we got a lot of space.
But here, how does one go about doing this if we want to do this?
Yep. So that's something we just set up here a couple weeks ago through council. We set up an application form. So if somebody wants to rent the water tower as far as lighting it a particular color, all you have to do is contact City Hall. We have a form on our city website that you can fill out, and it'll ask you, what date, what colors do you want, what's it for. We want to promote it on our city, on our social media Facebook page, and so do you mind if we do that? And so for $75 you can have that water tower lit from dusk till dawn
for a day.
Yeah,
I just think that's amazing.
We'll do it during the day too, but it doesn't.
I mean not really effective. No, I'm sorry, for that 12. You caught me, Steve. For that 12, I meant for the 12-hour period, or for the whole week during the evening.
Well, yeah, you can do a week too.
But it's $75 per night.
Yeah, per night. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Got it. I didn't mean.
So you could you could do different colors and whatnot. I mean, the color palette is almost unlimited. We do need to know a couple weeks in advance, because if you need a light chartreuse or something, we need to be able to program that stuff in. So, but yeah, it's really cool. And so we've done it. We've been just kind of doing it on our own for various events, whether it be something, with the school in the comments where we do, orange, or, any number of things, we've been kind of lighting it up. And so if it's a nonprofit event, like this request we had for metastatic breast cancer awareness, where it was the pink, teal, and green, we did that at no charge. So, but if it's for a birthday party or who knows, maybe the Chicago Bears win a big game or something.
You need Minnesota Vikings win the Super Bowl, I'm doing
that
it.
Also, there you go. Since we don't have to worry about that, you can light up all sorts of colors and different things. So it's pretty neat. It's a pretty neat thing. And we've gotten a lot of interest just from what we did last week, of people saying, oh, next year we should do it for this or that. And so it's just one of those really neat things that we can do in the community.
Oh, you both are good at wishful thinking. Now, here's a good question for you. How many lights are shining on the tower? Is it four different lights?
It's six now.
Six. Okay, so you've added that since we talked about it last time.
Yeah.
Can they all be an individual color at the same time, or are they just the same color?
No, they can. I mean, that's part of the alternating colors, is you can program them to do different colors. When we initially started, we just had two, and it lit it up, but it needed a little more horsepower up there. So before Ragbrite came, this year we put four more lights on, so we could really, we moved the two to the logo, but the real light we put on the City of Charles City parts. And so I think you could do, it's not programmed to do a lot of cool tricks and things, but you can kind of fade
probably
between different
don't
ones.
Want that, because you have somebody veer off the road.
Yeah. I was asking Corey Speaker, our water superintendent. He's the one that's kind of mission control and all that. I said, all right, for Halloween, we need to do orange and black. He's like, so on and off? I said, yes, that works. But I said, let's put some bats up there and some ghosts or something. And we're not quite to that level.
Oh,
so we can do colors. So yeah. And so we've been, you know, for Christmas and Thanksgiving, we've lit it up and different things. So,
you know, you got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's an awesome feature that you don't see anywhere around here. No, I mean, unless you're a big city down by Des Moines or Altoona, where are you going to see this stuff? Right. So it's kind of cool to have it right here.
So I did kind of borrow their idea, but I put our own twist on it.
You didn't really need to announce that on the radio. Anyway, moving on, Kay Winkle.
It's all right.
One more topic because we got to get going here. City goal setting, strategic planning.
Yes, every 2 years we sit down and kind of reassess what our main goals are, things we're trying to focus on. And so we are at that every other year point. So we're going to be going through doing a goal setting. We've initially had elected officials and department heads kind of fill out, you know, a list of, you know, what are the things that we've accomplished in the last couple of years? What are the things we want to, you know, what are some of the challenges or opportunities that are out there that we need to address? And then we try and, you know, what, you know, we try and determine what those priorities should be going forward. So we've made kind of initial laundry list, and we're working with a consultant on this to work through this goal setting. And so what we'll be doing, though, is here for the public sometime in the beginning of November for about a week or two, is we're going to have a survey like we did last time. I have a survey out on the city website. We'll put it on Facebook, too, where we'll have a list of priorities, and we want the public to go out there and kind of check on the ones that they feel are important. So be watching for that on city Facebook, on our website, to take that survey. Because once you fill out that survey, then ultimately we're going to be meeting with the city council and department heads at the end of November to kind of review, okay, what need to be our main priorities for the next 2 years. And so that's something we started here 2 years ago doing the public survey, and I really like that feature because it really helps, you know what people feel are important. And so be watching for that.
Okay.
Good deal. Well, that was Steve Deers, City Administrator of Charles City, and that's why you're an award winner, because I didn't see you look at any notes whatsoever.
And he's got his song phone. Request for the day.
That's right. We're going to get to that right after our incredibly obvious quiz, because we're already running out of time here. So at least you'll be able to listen to it.
Okay. All right.
You want to introduce it?
Yeah, real quick. So this will be the third time I've done this. Maybe you don't recall that, but 2 years ago is the first time I requested this song. So it's kind of my wife and I's anniversary. 17 years here this last week.
Aww.
And so
happy anniversary.
Thank you.
I knew that. I guess happy anniversary. I think
you probably did. So this is a song that Jason Isbell's song "Cover Me Up" is one of our favorite songs, and so that's why I request it every October.
Okay. All right. Well, it is coming up. Stick around for that, Jason Isbell. Cover me up. It's 8:42. Your incredibly obvious quiz is next.